Hello, hello, my little plum sauce. What are you doing? Are you on the river right now? Or are you sitting in the camper doing nothing? Oh, did you guys take the camper? Or did you take, yeah, you probably did. You didn't take Mama's car, right? Or Papa's truck? Anyway, I hope you're having fun. And if you didn't listen to Mad Eye Moody yesterday, somebody did. I'm assuming that was you. You ready for the next one? We're gonna do... where are we? hold on, I gotta find it. Oh, okay. We're on chapter 14, The Unforgivable Curses. And this is... Where did we leave off? Oh, this is when Harry, Ron, and Hermione get a chance to finally get into Mad-Eye Moody's class. It's finally their turn. Remember, the last thing that we read was... Oh, Mad-Eye Moody had turned Draco Malfoy into a white ferret. It was bouncing him all over the place until Professor McGonagall found out. And then Fred and George came up to Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and we're talking about how cool Mad-Eye Moody was. So, now we get to go to Mad-Eye Moody's class. All right, I'm gonna stop this for 1 second, and then I'll start it back because I want to put it up on my stand, and if I do it now while I'm recording, it's gonna make a lot of noise in your ear. All right, so hold on. All right, we're ready. The Unforgivable Curses. The next 2 days passed without great incident, unless you counted Neville melting his 6 cauldron and potions. Professor Snape, who seemed to have attained new levels of vindictiveness over the summer, gave Neville detention, and Neville returned from it in a state of nervous collapse, having been made to disembowel a full barrel of horned toads. You know why Snape's in such a foul mood, don't you? Said Ron to Harry as they watched Hermione teaching Neville a scouring charm to remove the frog guts from under his nails. Yeah, said Harry. Moody. It was common knowledge that Snape really wanted the dark arts job, and he had failed to get it for the 4th year running. Snape had disliked all of their previous dark arts teachers, and shown it, but he seemed strangely weary of displaying overt animosity to Mad-Eye Moody. Indeed, whenever Harry saw the two of them together at mealtimes, or when they passed in the corridors, he had the distinct impression that Snape was avoiding Moody's eye, whether magical or normal. "I reckon Snape's a bit scared of him, you know," Harry said thoughtfully. "Imagine if Moody turned Snape into a horned toad," said Ron, his eyes misting over, "and bounced him all around his dungeon." The Gryffindor 4 years were looking forward to Moody's first lesson so much that they arrived early on Thursday. The Gryffindor 4 years were looking forward to Moody's first lesson so much that they arrived early on Thursday lunchtime and queued up outside his classroom before the bell had even rung. The only person was missing was Hermione, who turned up just in time for the lesson. "Been in the library," Harry finished her sentence for her. "Come on, quick, or we won't get decent seats." They hurried into 3 chairs right in front of the teacher's desk, took out their copies of The Dark Forces, A Guide to Self-Protection, and waited, unusually quiet. Soon they heard Moody's distinctive clunking footsteps coming down the corridor, and he entered the room, looking as strange and frightening as ever. They could just see his clawed wooden foot protruding from under his robes. "You can put those away," he growled, stumping over his desk and sitting down. "Those books You won't need them. They returned the books to their bags, Ron looking excited. Moody took out a register, shook his long mane of grizzled gray hair out of his twisted and scarred face, and began to call out names. His normal eye moving steadily down the list, while his magical eye swiveled around, fixing upon each student as he or she answered. Right then, he said, when the last person had declared themselves present. I've a letter from Professor Lupin about this class. Seems you've had a pretty thorough grounding in tackling dark creatures. You've covered boggarts, redcaps, hinky punks, grindylows, kappas, and werewolves. Is that right? There is a general murmur of assent. But you're behind, very behind, on dealing with curses, said Moody. So I'm here to bring you up to scratch on what wizards can do to each other. I've got 1 year to teach you how to deal with dark... What, aren't you staying? Ron blurted out. Moody's magical eyes spun around to stare at Ron. Ron looked extremely apprehensive. But after a moment, Moody smiled. The first time Harry had seen him do so. The effect was to make his heavily scarred face look more twisted and contorted than ever, but it was nevertheless good to know that he ever did anything as friendly as smile. Ron looked deeply relieved. You'll be Arthur Weasley's son, eh? Moody said. Your father got me out of a very tight corner a few days ago. Yeah, I'm staying just the 1 year. Special favor to Dumbledore. 1 year and then back to my quiet retirement. He gave a harsh laugh and then clapped his gnarled hands together. So straight into it, curses. They come in many strengths and forms. Now, according to the Ministry of Magic, I'm supposed to teach you counter curses and leave it at that. I'm not supposed to show you what illegal dark curses look like until you're in the 6th year. You're not supposed to be old enough to deal with it until then. But Professor Dumbledore's got a higher opinion of your nerves. He reckons you can cope, and I say the sooner you know what you're up against, the better. How are you supposed to defend yourself against something you've never seen? A wizard who's about to put an illegal curse on you isn't going to tell you what he's about to do. He's not going to do it in a nice and polite way to your face. You need to be prepared. You need to be alert and watchful. You need to put that away, Miss Brown, when I'm talking. Lavender jumped and blushed. She'd been showing Parvati her completed horoscope under the desk. Apparently Moody's magical eye could see through solid wood as well as out of the back of his head. So, do any of you know which curses are most heavily punishable by wizarding law? Several hands rose tentatively into the air, including Ron's and Hermione's. Moody pointed at Ron, though his magical eye was still fixed on Lavender. Said Ron tentatively, my dad told me about one. Is it called the Imperious Curse or something? Ah, yes, said Moody appreciatively. Your father would know that one. Gave the ministry a lot of trouble at one time, the Imperious Curse. Moody got heavily to his mismatched feet, opened his desk drawer, and took out a glass jar. Three large black spiders were scuttling around inside it. Harry felt Ron recoil slightly next to him. Ron hated spiders. Me too, Ron. Moody reached into the jar, caught one of the spiders, and held it in the palm of his hand so they all could see it. And then pointed his wand at it and muttered, Imperio! The spider leapt from Moody's hand on a fine thread of silk and began to swing backward and forward as though on a trapeze. It stretched out its legs rigidly, then did a backflip, breaking the thread and landing on the desk, where it began to cartwheel in circles. Moody jerked his wand, and the spider rose up onto two of its hind legs and went into what was unmistakably a tap dance. Everyone was laughing. Everyone except Moody.
"Think it's funny, do you?" he growled. "You wouldn't like it. Oh, you'd like it, would you, if I did it to you?"
The laughter died away almost instantly.
"Total control," said Moody quietly, as the spider balled itself up and began to roll over and over.
"I can make it jump out of the window, drown itself, throw itself down one of your throats." Ron gave an involuntary shudder. Years back, there were a lot of witches and wizards being controlled by the imperious curse, said Moody. And Harry knew he was talking about the days in which Voldemort had been all-powerful. Some job for the ministry, trying to sort out who was being forced to act and who was acting of their own free will. The imperious curse can be fought, and I'll be teaching you how, but it takes real strength of character, and not everyone's got it. Better avoid being hit with it if you can. Constant vigilance, he barked, and everyone jumped. Moody picked up the somersaulting spider and threw it back into the jar. Anyone else? No one? Another illegal curse? Hermione's hand flew into the air again, and so, to Harry's slight surprise, did Neville's. The only class in which Neville usually volunteered information was Herbology, which was easily his best subject. Neville looked surprised at his own daring.
"Yes," said Moody, his magical eye rolling over to fix on Neville.
"There's one, the Cruciatus Curse," said Neville, in a small but distant voice. Moody was looking very intently at Neville, this time with both eyes.
"Your name's Longbottom," he said, his magical eye swooping down to check the register again.
Neville nodded nervously, but Moody made no further inquiries. Turning back to the class at large, he reached into the jar for the next spider and placed it upon the desktop, where it remained motionless, apparently too scared to move.
"The Cruciatus Curse," said Moody, "needs to be a bit more bigger for you to get the idea," he said, pointing his wand at the spider. "Engorgio." The spider swelled. It was now larger than a tarantula. Abandoning all pretense, Ron pushed his chair backward, so far away from as far away from Moody's desk as possible. Moody raised his wand again, pointed it at the spider, and muttered, "Crucio." At once, the spider's leg bent up upon its body. It rolled over and began to twitch, horribly rocking from side to side. No sound came from it, but Harry was sure that if it could have given voice, it would have been screaming. Moody did not remove his wand, and the spider started to shudder and jerk more violently.
"Stop it!" Hermione said shrilly. Harry looked around at her. She was looking not at the spider, but at Neville. And Harry, following her gaze, saw that Neville's hands were clenched upon his desk in front of him, his knuckles white, his eyes wide and horrified. Moody raised his wand. The spider's legs relaxed, but it continued to twitch.
"Reducio,"
Moody muttered, and the spider shrank back to its proper size.
He put it back into the jar. "Pain," said Moody softly. "You don't need thumbscrews or knives to torture someone if you can perform the Cruciatus curse. That one was very popular once, too." "Right. Anyone know any others?" Harry looked around. From the looks on everyone's faces, he guessed they were all wondering what was going to happen to the last spider. Hermione's hand shook slightly as, for the third time, she raised it into the air. "Yes," said Moody, looking at her. "Avada Kedavra," Hermione whispered. Several people looked uneasily around at her, including Ron. "Ah," said Moody, another slight smile twisting his lopsided mouth. "Yes, the last and worst. Avada Kedavra, the killing curse." He put his hand into the glass jar, and almost as though it knew what was coming, the third spider scuttled frantically around the bottom of the jar, trying to evade Moody's fingers. But he trapped it and placed it upon the desktop. It started to scuttle frantically across the wooden surface. Moody raised his wand, and Harry felt a sudden thrill of foreboding. "Avada Kedavra!" Moody roared. There was a flash of blinding green light and a rushing sound as though a vast, invisible something was soaring through the air. Instantaneously, the spider rolled over onto its back, unmarked, but unmistakably dead. Several of the students stifled cries. Ron had thrown himself backward and almost toppled off his seat as the spider skidded toward him. Moody swept the dead spider off the desk onto the floor. "Not nice," he said calmly. "Not pleasant. And there's no counter curse. There's no blocking it. And only one person has ever survived it. And he's sitting right in front of me." Harry felt his face redden as Moody's eyes, both of them, looked into his own. He could feel everyone else looking around at him, too. Harry stared at the blank blackboard as though fascinated by it, but not really seeing it at all. So, that was how his parents had died. Exactly like that spider. Had they been unblemished and unmarked, too? Had they simply seen the flash of green light and heard the rush of speeding death before life was wiped from their bodies? Harry had been picturing his parents' deaths over and over again and again for 3 years now, ever since he'd found out that they had been murdered, ever since that he had found out what had happened that night. Wormtail had betrayed his parents' whereabouts to Voldemort, who had come to find them at their cottage. How Voldemort had killed Harry's father's first. How James Potter had tried to hold him off while he shouted at his wife to take Harry and run. Voldemort had advanced on Lily Potter, told her to move aside so that he could kill Harry. Now how she had begged him to kill her instead, refused to stop shielding her son, and so Voldemort had murdered her too, before turning his wand on Harry. Harry knew these details because he had heard his parents' voices when he had fought the Dementors last year. For that was the terrible power of the Dementors, to force their victims to relive the worst memories of their lives, and drown powerless in their own despair. Moody was speaking again, from a great distance, it seemed to Harry. With a massive effort, he pulled himself back to the present and listened to what Moody was saying. "Avada Kedavra is a curse that needs a powerful bit of magic behind it. You all could get your wands out and point them at me and say the words, and I doubt I'd so much as get a nosebleed. But that doesn't matter. I'm not here to teach you how to do it. Now, if there's no counter curse, why am I showing you? Because you've got to know. You've got to appreciate what the worst is. You don't want to find yourself in a situation when you're facing it. Constant vigilance, he roared. And the whole class jumped again. Now, those three curses, Avada Kedavra, Imperius, and Cruciatus, are known as the unforgivable curses. The use of any one of them on a fellow human being is enough to earn a life sentence in Azkaban. That's what you're up against. That's what I've got to teach you to fight. You need preparing. You need arming. But most of all, you need to practice constant, never-ceasing vigilance. Get out your pills. Copy this down. They spent the rest of the lesson taking notes on each of the unforgivable curses. No one spoke until the bell rang. But when Moody had dismissed them and they had left the classroom, a torrent of talk burst forth. Most people were discussing the curses in awed voices. Did you see it twitch? And when he killed it, just like that. They were talking about the lesson, Harry thought, as though it had been some sort of spectacular show. But he hadn't found it entertaining. And nor, it seemed, had Hermione. Hurry up, she said tensely to Harry and Ron.
Not the ruddy library again, said Ron.
No, said Hermione curtly, pointing up a side passage. Neville. Neville was standing alone, halfway up the passage, staring at the stone wall opposite him with the same horrified, wide-eyed look he'd worn when Moody had demonstrated the Cruciatus curse.
Neville? Hermione said gently. Neville looked around.
Oh, hello, he said, his voice much higher than usual. Interesting lesson, wasn't it? I wonder what's for dinner. I'm starving, aren't you?
Neville, are you all right? Said Hermione.
Oh, yes, I'm fine. Neville gabbled in the same unnaturally high voice. Very interesting dinner. Lesson. What's for eating?
Ron and Harry gave a startled look.
Neville, what?
An odd clunking noise sounded behind them, and they turned to see Professor Moody limping toward them. All four of them fell silent, watching him apprehensively. But when he spoke, it was a much lower and gentler growl than they had yet heard.
"It's all right, Sonny," he said to Neville. "Why don't you come up to my office? Come on, we can have a cup of tea."
Neville looked Neville looked even more frightened at the prospect of tea with Moody. He neither moved nor spoke. Moody turned his magical eyes upon Harry.
"Are you all right, Potter?"
"Yes," said Harry, almost defiantly. Moody's blue eyes quivered slightly in its socket as it surveyed Harry. Then he said,
"You've got to know. It seems harsh, maybe, but you've got to know. No point pretending. Well, come on, Longbottom. I've got some books that might interest you."
Neville looked pleadingly at Harry, Ron, and Hermione, but they didn't say anything, so Neville had no choice but to allow himself to be steered away, one of Moody's gnarled hands on his shoulder.
"What was that about?" said Ron, watching Neville and Moody turn the corner.
"I don't know," said Hermione, looking pensive.
"Some lesson, though, eh?" said Ron to Harry as they set off for the great hall. "Fred and George were right, weren't they? He really knows his stuff, Moody, doesn't he? When he did the Avada Kedavra, the way that spider just died, just snuffed it, right?"
But Ron fell suddenly silent at the look on Harry's face and didn't speak again until they reached the great hall, when he said he supposed that they better make a start on Professor Trelawney's predictions tonight, since they would take hours. Hermione did not join in with Harry and Ron's conversation during dinner, but ate furiously fast and then left for the library again. Harry and Ron walked back to Gryffindor Tower, and Harry, who had been thinking of nothing else all through dinner, now raised the subject of the unforgivable curse himself. Wouldn't Moody and Dumbledore be in trouble with the Ministry if they knew we'd seen the curses? Harry asked as they approached the fat lady. Yeah, probably, said Ron. But Dumbledore's always done things his way, hasn't he? And Moody's been getting into trouble for years, I reckon. Attacks first, and asks questions later. Look at his dustpins. Balderdash. The fat lady swung forward to reveal the entrance hole, and they climbed into the Gryffindor common room, which was crowded and noisy. "Shall we get to our divination stuff, then?" said Harry. "Oh, I suppose," Ron groaned. They went up to the dormitory to fetch their books and charts to find Neville there alone, sitting on his bed reading. He looked a great deal calmer than at the end of Moody's lesson, though still not entirely normal. His eyes were rather red. "Are you all right, Neville?" Harry asked him. "Oh, yes," said Neville. "I'm fine, thanks. Just reading this book Professor Moody lent me." He held up the book. "Magical Water Plants of the Mediterranean. Apparently, Professor Sprout told Professor Moody I'm really good at herbology," Neville said. There was a faint note of pride in his voice that Harry had rarely heard there before. He thought I'd like this. Telling Neville that Professor Sprout had said, what Professor Sprout had said, Harry thought, had been a very tactful way of cheering Neville up, for Neville very rarely heard that he was good at anything. It was the sort of thing Professor Lupin would have done. All right, I'm going to take a break there. I'll be back to read the other half.